Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Well, happy Friday, everybody. We made it to an end of the work week, the school week, time for the weekend, okay? And we are going to say thank you to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us to be here another day. I want to thank every one of you that hung out with me last night, and this entire week has been filled with some deep issues and some very great discussions has come about with our panelists, quite a few new guests, some regulars, some visitors that come back often. We had people that were interacting through Facebook. Of course, you all know you've been hearing me shout this loop out for quite a few days now. That's the Real World Black News and Discussion Group on Facebook, because they have been highly active in participation with the pre-broadcast topic questions. They give feedback nonstop. They've been overwhelmingly supportive. They have great insight and great viewpoints, and they've been 110% supportive. So I'm going to shout you out. Now let's get to our shout-outs to our affiliates. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York. He is currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. And when he's not doing his musical genius on the radio, he is giving you the best of R&B events out of New York City as the CEO of Track One Entertainment Company. And those of you, once again, who was at the Roseland event that was actually run by Felix Hernandez, and Barry was there doing his wonderful personality rounds. He's just great. But you all know that this is what you get when you get together with people like Barry and Felix. So we had the greatest time. It was my birthday. We had a great weekend, so it was absolutely fantastic. Now, after them, I want to say thank you to Stephanie Hammond-Pillette, Marcia Morgan. Those are the two ladies of Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment, also giving you to the great R&B Growing Sexy event all over New York. Thank you, ladies, for all that you do, the connections that you make, for spreading the word and doing community outreach, hitting us up with some artists and some events. Thank you for all that you do. I want to thank my team, of course, Stephanie, Elaine Nieves, and Monster Miles. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, bad weather out here. And I'm getting a little sick from it. So we have Lady Diamond and Elaine Nieves, Monster Miles. Thank you for being the great team members that you are. Thank you for all that you have been contributing to this show, because without you, we wouldn't have the segments that we have and the people that we need to reach out to. So thank you very much for that. I want to thank Mr. Sharad Piggy. He has been a wonderful, wonderful help. He is one of the marketing consultants, the global consultant of HughFunder.com and HughLinks. That is the crowdfunding source company that allows minorities and people of color to actually have a way to be funded when they want to start a business or have any other projects to help them generate some income on an entrepreneurial basis. Now, we had him here just a couple of weeks ago, and he explained this wonderful program and how it doesn't cost you anything to get started. And what we are going to do is bring him back again so he can re-explain and we can try to get more of you that have been reaching out to me to connect with him. Okay, I want to say thank you to Mr. Rod Russ, to Ms. Sin Monday Braxton, and I want to thank Deacon Betty Williams. All of you have been on this panel almost regularly this week, offering some great, great insight and advice. So I want to thank all of you for doing that. Now, we are going to go into what our topic is tonight. Tonight, it is called Love Talk, When the Middle Ground Becomes One-Sided. And what that's about is this. When you are in a relationship, about to get into one, or if you started one, there are things that both parties have to deal with, because it's easy to start one. It's very hard to keep it together without work. So this is where we want to talk about how this happens and what happens when one partner is compromising too much. Now, what I mean by that is this. When you come into a relationship, you're already dealing with two different types of lifestyles. You got a person that has certain habits, they have certain beliefs, they react to certain things certain ways. You have to deal with two different types of personalities, but you have to not lose yourself while you're trying to be a team member. And at the same time, you sometimes have to know how to not bring yourself down, but sort of come outside of yourself for the sake of your partner at times. Now, when and what exactly does it become too much to ask for the sake of a relationship? How much of yourself are you giving up that's a fair exchange for the relationship? So we're going to talk about a few things tonight that what's fair, what's not fair, what becomes too much, what becomes giving up more of yourself than required in a relationship. That's what we're going to be speaking on. So we're going to start off with our early break. You guys know how this goes. We go into a break, and we come back, and we start our discussion. So let me see. Today, I'm going to go out with a classic from Gloria Estefan, and it is called Can't Forget You. This is what happens when you split up with somebody that you love. It just didn't work out, but you can't get them out of your heart. So here's Gloria with Can't Forget You. The topic discussions begin after the song. Be back in four, people.
There's a part of me that dies every time I hear your name. There's a part of me that's trying to bring back your love again. There are times when I just wanna run, but there's no place to hide. Even though my heart is breaking in a million different sides, I've been
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and that was a classic by Gloria Estefan called Can't Forget You. Okay, tonight's topic, everybody, is love talk. Okay, when the middle ground becomes one-sided. And so here we are. You can start a relationship. You know, you met that person, sparkle in your eyes. You guys are hooking up. You got it. You're in there. Okay? Now, that's easy to do. It's easy to fall in love. It's never easy to keep it as sparkly as it used to be. You know, it takes work. Okay? So now, this is what happens. Now you're getting to know each other more. Things are escalating to the next level. Now, there are certain things. Of course, there's ground rules that must be set for a couple coming in, period. But as you go on, there are certain things that either side has a problem with on the other one. For example, one person might have a temper, okay? And they have a way of just exploding when things go wrong. The other person might be a little calmer about it or might take things for granted or jokingly all the time. So this is two things that, you know, you two have to work on, meaning that, you know, you'll say, okay, you know what, I'll stop and I'll think a little harder before I just snap or before I say things out of my head when I react to something. I'll try to ask a question and clarify what you meant before I take it to a certain way. Okay, that's one thing that should be negotiated. Then you have, of course, some of the things, and I don't care what people say about, you know, you have to have times where you could just be you and not with your partner. Understand something, everyone. When you are in a relationship, a solid one, be it a marriage, an engagement, a live-in situation, whatever, that is now a different way of being. So even if you're not legally married, you're really not single. So certain things that you used to do with single friends, you can't do anymore. Or, as a matter of fact, certain friends who you know have a certain mindset that could be detrimental to your relationship should be, let's see, less frequent in hanging around. If you have a single friend and you are a married man or married woman, okay, and that single friend is not really trying to become involved in a relationship for whatever their reasons are, more than likely, they're going to spend their time trying to bring you around single activities or start to try to convince you how your life is not so great anymore. So chances are that when you move to a new situation, you need to start running in a circle with that situation, same situation. Couples, I see you, caller. I'll bring you in just a sec. Couples should be hanging with couples, not saying that you cut your single friends off, just that you should know how to assess which one of your friends might not be so great to a new situation. So that's something that you and your partner will talk about. Let's see, what else? Things that there's a difference between a compromise and an improvisation. So that's another thing that we're going to address later on in the broadcast. But what is it that you can come to a middle ground with, and what is it that is an outright unfair request of a person? When you start to feel like you can't have a say in the situation, or, you know, that person expects you, if you're normally shy, to open up and not be shy anymore, or expects you to lower your values to just be a certain way, that's a problem. So let me bring in our first panelist for the evening. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Katie. It's Simone.
Hi, Simone. How are you?
I'm fine. Aww.
How are you? Happy
I'm
Friday.
I'm fine, my sweet girl.
Okay, well, let me ask you. What do you think, when do you think that compromising, you know, certain things in a relationship is too much?
Well, I liked what you said. I listened to you when you said if one person's got a temper and the other one hasn't. I mean, I think what you've got to be careful of there. Sometimes when you get in a relationship, yeah, it can be all starry-eyed the first couple of months, first whatever. But I would watch somebody with that temper, because some people, and I don't, I've experienced this, and I got rid of him more than I could say hotcakes. I noticed there was a controlling element. And when somebody, KD, wants to control you, I believe they don't really like you. They're looking for somebody to control. And that's
right.
Not a real, you know, pure, nice relationship. Do you know what I mean? I mean, to me, a relationship is got to be about compromise. And, yeah, you're dealing with two personalities. And I think the main essence of a really good relationship is friendship. And, yes, you are going to fall out and disagree and blah, blah, blah. But if you two can, you know, the two people can meet up and say, come on, let's sit down and talk about this, you know, and come to an agreement. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about give and take. And I think whenever one goes into a relationship, I think it's important to keep your friends too, because, you know, your friends, if the relationship fails, your friends, you know, sort of thing will always be there. But if your friends walk while you're in a relationship, my thing is they weren't even your friends in the first place. You know, they should support you and be happy that, oh, she's met somebody, he's met somebody. You know what I'm saying? Unless there's an agenda there. Sometimes there's probably been an agenda there. And regards to lowering one's values, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, that's not going to work either. You know, no one wants to do that. I mean, I think a lot as well these days, a lot of women, more so than men, tend to put up with crap rather than being on their own. Do you know what I mean? Especially in the 40s and the 50s, they're scared of being on their own. So sometimes they will tolerate anything, or even younger in the 30s. Because sometimes women in the 30s get scared, oh, my God, I haven't had children yet. I'm just going to have to settle. And, you know, it's all pressure, peer pressure. But you know what I mean? There's, you know, lots of different reasons. But lowering your values, I mean, you know, which does happen. A person, you've got to be true to yourself. And I think that, you know, the old saying goes, you've got to really know yourself before you get involved with somebody really at the end of the day. And set your boundaries and allow compromise into it both ways, really. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think when you come to a compromise, it's like both sides have given up that they're going to get their way either way. So they have to come to a middle agreement on something they can both live with without actually having, you know, like their full point in there. I think when you improvise, you sort of don't give up what it is that you want, but you'll soften or cut down a little bit of something that you have. For example, guys with sports, or now, listen, I'm as bad as a guy with sports. I love sports beyond, you know, me, except for certain guys. But I'm a diehard Knicks fan, okay? I love my New York teams. I will scream as loud as the guys do, you know, when it comes to certain things. I will talk trash on the sports pages like the guys do, all in good fun, of course. But here's the thing, okay? Yes, men and women, when you were single, you can do that. You can sit and watch sports all day. You can ignore the calls coming through. When you get with someone, okay, no one's trying to take away your activities. Because, ladies, if that's what you're doing with your men, you could forget it. And men, if you need to stop believing that women are not involved with sports because they are just as active with it. But here's the deal. When you start getting caught up in something, and you forget the world around you, okay, and everything's a blank, that's the problem. On the other hand, you guys can come to a position where, a middle ground where, okay, listen, if you just let me watch this game, you know, I'll listen to what it is you need. Is it important right now? I acknowledge it. Just give me a few seconds. Look up from time to time. Or if you both like sports, make that your together activity. On the other hand, if you go out and you're hanging with your single friends, and you know your single friends are just looking at women, or your single girlfriends are guy whore mongers, okay? You got a guy at home that's allowing you to go out and be with your girlfriends, or a woman allowing you to go out and be with the guys. you have to come to a point of understanding that if you have that one particular friend, that all they want to do is go, nah, you got the hook and the handcuff on you. Nah, you know, not me. I'm never going to do this. I like the honeys. I like the this. That's not going to make your partner feel very comfortable about the activities that you're doing. Now, you know, by this time, if you obviously became involved in a relationship, chances are that one friend is starting to annoy you in the ear anyway. So there comes a point in time where you could say to your partner, look, he is my friend or she is my friend. I know how she is, but guess what? I'll make sure that when I go out, I'll make time with her limited, or we'll all be in a group of like people. For example, other people that are in relationships. Okay, you guys should do more things as a couple with couples. But when you start to tell a person that, you know what, you need to leave that alone altogether, and that's not the way that that person is, that's a problem. That's control. When you start to tell a person you give up all those days that you're hanging out, but yet that person, the one that you told to do it, obeyed for you, but you're still doing what you used to do, that's unfair compromise. That's an unfair compromise.
I think it's got to work two ways. I mean, for me personally, I don't know sports in this country, and I've never been interested in them anyway because I'm the sort that would have to get up and join in. I can't sit and watch active stuff. I'm too active myself. Make me crazy. But, I mean, I would be willing, you know, to join in if a guy would explain a little bit about the sports to me, to get me. But then again, you see, I love dancing and I love going out, dressing up, blah, 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 blah. And my thing is, I would hope wholeheartedly a man would trust me that I did still go out with my single girlfriends once in a while, going out, gathering along and dancing, which I love. But, I mean, it's about, then again, you know, you've got to learn in a relationship, one has to learn to trust both sides of the relationship. You've got to learn to meet each other halfway and trust each other and have separate nights out, because that makes you appreciate each other more, in my book. That's in my book. No, I couldn't stand it being with the same person day in, day out. I would want to still do my thing and allow him to do his thing. And, you know,
absolutely.
Knowing... You know what I'm saying? I couldn't be
absolutely
one of those
no,
people.
Listen.
Lord
knows I'm not saying be joined at the hip, because even if you could have starry, mushy eyes at each other all day, everybody needs their individuality. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about when something starts to become a strain on the relationship that's really not worth losing the relationship. You know what I mean? Like there are certain things. There are certain things. Well, hold on. Let me bring in our other panelists. Just one second.
Okay.
Hi, Chloe, you're on the air?
Hey, Katie, it's Lady Diana. How are you?
Okay, this is Lady Diana, co-host, and we have one other person. One second.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show, Chloe. You're on the air?
Yes, I'm listening to what you're saying, and there's certain stuff I disagree and everything. I'm listening to what you're saying. You're saying so much on compromise. I don't agree with that. Why should I compromise in a relationship? It's either I accept the person for who or she is, or I don't. I'm not going to start basically telling that person you can't hang out with your friends, you can't do what you had to do.
That's not what
I don't control you. It's either I trust you, and I'm in a relationship, by the way. It's either I trust you. I trust my girlfriend. She goes out with a friend. She does what she needs to do. I can't control her. I can't control if she's going to cheat. I can't control if she's going to do something. I can't do that. The only person I could control in this whole relationship is me. I could be the best guy that I need to be, and she needs to be the best woman that she needs to be. But the rest, I can't control. She could cheat. You can have all those stuff that you said, and the person can still cheat on you.
Absolutely. And you missed what I said, but hold on. What's your name first? Your first name is fine.
My name is Stanley.
Is Sim?
Stanley.
Oh, Sammy. Hi, Stanley.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Yes.
No, I didn't. No. Absolutely not. If it becomes a proposition where one partner is controlling of the other, it's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. What I meant was, in a relationship, listen, if you start to get involved with somebody, okay, and you guys met, let's say you all met at a club, no problem, and you got together, but you all know that there are certain people around you. This was just an example. It's not even something that I'm saying is a specific, but I'm saying in a relationship, a lot of the things that used to happen in your separate lives before you became a couple, okay, might be something that as a couple you know was a problem or was wild before you got there. I'm saying that if it becomes a problem for one partner, not saying that that partner should tell the other partner to cut it out altogether, but if it's something that makes you uncomfortable or makes your partner uncomfortable, if that person that's involved in that activity can kind of lower it down a little bit or lessen some things without it being detrimental to themselves, then that's something that a couple would talk about. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying for any reason at all that you tell your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend not to go anywhere. I'm saying that if you know that there's a person around you that is not really doing anything but trying to cause trouble and your partner feels a certain way, protective or otherwise, about it, you guys should discuss it and find out if it's something that you can improvise on or come to a middle ground with. And I'm also asking this. When there is a time where things come to a point where one partner is asking the other to sacrifice too much of themselves for the relationship, tell me what you think that would be, Stanley.
When you're basically telling the person to change your friend, change everything that he used to be him to become something that the woman or the man wants to become another person. That I don't agree with that part. Because if you do that, you're basically changing the person to something else that he wasn't. You weren't attracted to that person because he was something that you expect. You were attracted for being who he or she was. And you're changing him because of your own fear. And I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm sorry to say that's your own fear. That's not the woman's problem, the man's problem. That's your own fear. That's your own thing. That's something a man or a woman has to work on himself. If you have a fear because your partner's going to do whatever she needs to do, you need to look at yourself and first say, why do I have this fear? Why do I feel this way? And what can I do about it?
Absolutely, if it's just a fear-based thing. But a lot of times, think about this. Don't. A lot of people do certain things when they're single because there is nobody to go home to or talk to. I don't like to say go home and answer to. I can't stand that term. I really don't, because that does put a control spin on a relationship. So there's nobody at home that you have to, you know, go home to or deal with when you're single. A lot of times, now think on this end. What about if a lot of the things that you're doing is you're doing simply because you are single, there's nothing for you to do, and you just want to spend your time, go home and do whatever. When you get into a relationship, when you find that person that you're looking for, don't half of those things start to not become so enticing anyway? Do you understand what I mean? So if the other partner who knew about these people, who knew that they weren't really doing anything but getting you into trouble or doing something that could get into trouble, and that your new partner now feels that you should either be less frequent with hanging out with this person because of that factor, not because of jealousy or fear, but because they know that that person really doesn't do anything but get in trouble. They get drunk and they start fighting. The police is involved. They'll go and they'll start things, you know, walk up to a girl and seal her up or something, you know, and cause a criminal act or something to that effect. I'm saying if it comes to something like that, certain things can come to a middle ground. Now, if you're hearing it from that perspective, do you change your views, or do you still feel it's under the same category?
No, I understand what you're saying. Yes, you do want to say some stuff. I think you would have to be really honest with your partner and say what you feel is this. But the final say of changing and doing things is her. I believe very much on responsibility. I don't believe in the victim and owner. There's two people in this world, victim and ownership. I believe that if you want to have a successful relationship, you have to be two people who are basically owner of their life and responsible. And tell the person, hey, you know, this person, the woman and the man knows when she's with friends that are basically not positive in her. And you as a man or a woman has to look at your partner and say, you know what, I'm not going to be, I'm your partner, yes, and this, but I'm not your judge and everything. You need to know in your heart and in your mind that you, those people are not good for you. I'm maybe going to tell you once and twice, but that's not my responsibility. That's your own ownership. And if you continue staying with them, don't be surprised at the consequences, because people know those things. People are not child. People are not. We're acting like people are small people that we always have to remember. I believe more in the thing of ownership and responsibility and telling people you're an adult. You know what you need to do. Everybody knows when they need to do. Everybody knows what's the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. You choose. You make the choice. You choose whatever you need to do. And a lot of people don't make the right choice, and you as a person has to tell it, hey, you made the wrong choice.
Right. Now think about this. One person has a friend that they grew up with and that, you know, they deep down inside, they're sort of tired of what that friend is doing, you know, but they're friends. Because believe it or not, this has been one of the biggest conflicts between a couple. All right, a guy and a girl get together. The guy sees the girl as a friend that is loose. She's wild. She doesn't want to party. She's full of trouble. She's drinking all the time. His girlfriend is friends with this girl. She knows the situation. A lot of times, he could see that his girlfriend is uncomfortable with her actions as well. And he's like, no problem, you're going to hang with her, just be careful, you know what goes on. But when it starts to become a situation where this person got so drunk one day that it almost got his partner in trouble, now he feels that maybe the best way to not get this to happen is for her to prevent the situation by watching where she goes with her. This should be a discussion between a couple. I'm not saying for any reason for anybody to be able to say, if you want to be in this relationship, cut your friends. But even with respect to the relationship, honestly, they even say this in all these little expert, I hate to say expert because people really don't know how to say what's what, but, you know, if you're married and you've got a friend that's single and all that single friend is talking about is, if she wasn't married, I would do this. If he wasn't married, we'd go there. All I wanted to do this. I'm not going to get in that ring. No, thank you. No, thank you. And they're not being respectable to the relationship. Then you might want to start thinking about running with new circles, not cutting that person off necessarily altogether, but starting to make sure that you and your partner have more like-minded people around you.
Okay, I understand what you're saying in that part, but don't you think that woman should take her responsibility of going to that friend?
Absolutely.
And saying, you know what, you are not, I love my man and everything, and you are not going to change that, and stand up with that. I had friends who basically tried to jeopardize my relationship, and I said, I'm not moving. You can say anything that you want. You have the right to say things, oh, you should be so lucky. But as a man or as a woman, I make the final decision. You don't.
And that will be the couple will come to. But each of you should be able, like you said, the whole thing is about you guys both opening up a line of communication, both of you saying what you don't like about certain things or what your concerns are without sounding like you're being each other's parent. That's absolutely sure, okay? But at some point, okay, both sides has to start to look at the whole situation and see what's really the bounty and what's the liabilities and what's the assets. I mean, is really running every single week with this one person who really doesn't do anything but ruin your night at the end of the night anyway? Is it worth you constantly being in a frigid situation with your girlfriend or your boyfriend when you come home, or your husband or your wife? Honestly, could you kind of give in a little bit and say, you know what, I don't have to go out every Friday?
No, you don't have to go out every Friday and everything. But I the thing I'm scared of is a lot of people forget that when they go in a couple, they forget everything that they used to be and they forget who they are. And they put much focus on the couple that they forget, like you said before, you got to still believe you're still an individual. Even if you're married, you're still an individual. You don't forget that, because a lot of people think that once they get married, they forgot their individuality and they're not a couple. They're not individual anymore. I'm with my husband and my wife and everything, and you don't hear the difference. You don't hear the individuality. You don't hear the independence. You don't hear this, and it brings a lot of troubles also.
That's usually when relationships go bad, Stanley. You're absolutely right. A relationship is work where two people have to maintain their individuality while still being able to perform as a team member. And it goes both ways, absolutely. So I'm not, under no circumstances should any relationship be you know, picturized as a handcuff. It shouldn't be associated or assimilated with a handcuff or with a brain lobotomy or with a magical transformation. It's not supposed to be that. You're supposed to just have somebody in your life to help enhance the best parts of you and be there when you're falling down. That's what it's supposed to be. But it does take work to get in. But that is the whole point of tonight's conversation. When does one person, what do you qualify as one person giving all the sacrifices, making all the compromises and all the improvisations, and the other person is being more of a taker than a giver? So you mentioned one. Let me go to our other panelists. Elaine, give me an example of what you think. What do you think?
I'm going to give you, like, my situation. I mean, you know, given that we're always throwing our life experiences out there, and, well, my situation is that when I met one person, he met me the way, he met me going to church, he met me going to, you know, teaching, he met me the way I was, you know, the way I've always been. And then when the relationship started to get a little bit more serious, he started to tell me to pull away from it. He didn't want me to teach anymore. He didn't want me to meet at the church too much. He says it was, you know, I'm doing volunteer work for nothing. I'm not getting paid for it. I shouldn't even be going. You know, I mean, I've been in a situation like that, and I'm like, why are you going to take me away from something that you met me with? You know, it makes no sense. You shouldn't be taking me away from something that you met me with. I do admit that I did quit for like a few years because I was living too far at that time. But then once I started to move close by, I went right back into it again, and he didn't like it. You know, then on top of that, I added a shortfall to my life, you know? So it's like, oh, how come you have to add a shortfall? And then, you know, you do this volunteer work, you're not getting paid for it. There's no reason for you to do this. You shouldn't be doing this anymore. You should be making money. To this day, I still teach, I still do shortfall, and I do work, you know? And I told him, I said, no matter what, I'm going to keep this because this is what's keeping me sane. This is how you met me. Oh, but so far wasn't there. I said, well, now it is. Now you have to, you know, if you don't like it, that's too bad. You know, and soon the relationship started to fall apart too. Only because he didn't trust me at all. He thought I was hanging out with my friends. He thought I was with another guy. And I'm like, okay, if you have no trust in me, then there's nothing in this relationship. If there's no trust, there's no relationship. So,
absolutely. We do have another panelist in before you continue. Let me just bring them in, okay? Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hello, this is Rod. I heard church in there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, on my end, you guys are sounding a little bit muffled, so I need you, the new caller, to repeat who you are.
This is Rod.
Oh, hi, Rod. Okay. I know you. All right. Okay, guys, it's we're having a storm in this area. It's a pending storm. It's very windy, so a lot of our connectivity is a little bit staticky. So if I ask you to repeat yourself, just bear with me, okay?
Okay.
Everyone? Okay. Stanley, first of all, let me welcome you again, and let me let you know that your viewpoints are absolutely awesome. I mean, I want to let you know that it's refreshing, you know, on the panel. So we always welcome, you know, small, strong intellectual viewpoints here, and to be able to respectably argue our debates and our disagreements. So I thank you for that. And Sin Monday, you know, say hello to...
Hi, Stanley. I love your point. Hi.
Hello.
All right. We usually try to have a first name basis going around here so everybody is not arguing with strangers that way. Okay, we're talking with strangers. Okay, so Rod, now you, the newest addition to the panel tonight, let me ask you. In a relationship, you know that there's a little bit of give and take on both sides. Now, what do you think is an example of one partner giving too much of themselves to make a relationship work?
Let's see. Well, I had a problem with jealousy with my old partner. She was real jealous, so I'll use that. That's why we broke up. It got to the point to where Although she was amazing, she was nice, kind, considerate, and all that fun stuff. That jealousy got to be a bit too much. So much to the point that I couldn't wake up in the morning and says, "All right, yeah, I still love you." So I felt like I was working too hard. So we had to have one of those grown folk conversations, and I said, I think I'm working a little too hard, and this jealousy is just a little too much, because whenever, let's say if we're in public, if another woman sees me and says, "Hey, Rob, how you doing?" And she would just put that screw face on, and the whole day she would just be mad. And like this.
Wow.
And I said, I feel it's too much for me to put up with, but she was amazing with the cooking, and she had that nice perfume and the hair going and nails and everything else I liked, and so I put up with it.
Wow. Well, first of all, that was an excellent point to bring up, because that is one of the examples of one person giving too much, and I'll give you an example that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
I had an ex for, 16 years,
mm-hmm.
and this man is brilliant. He's a brilliant businessman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he was in a position where, his job brought in a lot of women, a lot of people. So he got a smile. He's in the customer
mm-hmm.
service business. Never had a problem with that, because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this. You have a body. Your body reacts to visions, to sights, to whatever. My whole rule was, I don't care how crazy, you felt, or if it was standing up, bring it home. That was just my rule. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
it could be you can't I can't stop how you feel, what your body does, your nerve endings. But just bring it home. That way we could eliminate any issues. Okay,
mm-hmm.
now one of the things that used to be a problem for me is I always think on an entrepreneurial basis. I don't
mm-hmm.
mind working a 9-to-5 job, but it's never me planning to be a long-term future thing. It's something
mm-hmm.
that I want to learn the business I'm in and actually learn how to one day own my own and do the things that I would like to do with my business that I found, could be changed in the business I was in. Well, he was the type that believed in everything being, he believed in logistics. He believed in whatever you could see, feel, touch, smell, count on, at the end of the week. And he had the brains and the ambition to be big. But
mm-hmm.
what I failed to understand was being big in his mind meant being the highest paid employee. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he had the capability of being the one of the most successful business people. Now,
mm-hmm.
with the fact of me being like, I had this, we were supposed to be in this thing together as a team. I helped him think of ideas, and I would type certain things up. Whatever he wasn't good at, I filled in. Whatever I wasn't good at, he would fill in. Supposed to be perfect. That's the way we planned it. That's the way it was. Until one day I started seeing exactly what team meant to him. Team meant I'm the one that will run things, and you will be the one who's good at doing what you're doing, and you just do it. Here's the thing, though, okay? He's not very good at doing the customer service with everybody. He has certain people in his mind that fit the bill. Like, this is the people you're supposed to cater to, the ones that wear the suit and ties, the one that,
mm-hmm.
Walk in and that type of thing. Whereas me, I can speak everybody's language. You could be a bum
mm-hmm.
in a bus terminal, or you could be an executive up top. Everybody, to me, was a potential customer. That's the way I saw it. So now, with that being said, I had better skills with laughability and, interacting with anybody. He was more of a numbers and, logic man. So figured
all
that
right.
good. There we go. There are things that he's missing that I fill in. I'm the go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that will go out there. Until I started understanding this, I started finding out that when we were planning a business together, he didn't do the sacrifices that it takes to do a business. He started figuring that if we got to hit the grind Monday through Friday, by Friday night, everything should be good and we should head off to the club. Meanwhile, there's certain things and certain people we needed to go see right then and there in order to be first in the running. So
mm-hmm.
my mind was thinking, as long as we're just starting up, there's no such thing as stopping to party at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But slowly but surely, he knew that if he, I would keep things going no matter what he was doing. It would never stop for me. He started to enjoy that part. All right, well, you know what? I'm going to go over here and get a beer. And you know, when I come back, I'll look the numbers over that you put together.
Mm-hmm.
But I started seeing that it wasn't ambition, it wasn't a team. He was pretty much saying, this is my homework, you do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
He was taking advantage of you more than who he was doing.
Right. So what happens is when you're in a relationship where you're working for the team, but your team member is not thinking like a team member, definitely you're giving up too much of yourself and it's no longer a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So
that's when you start becoming a victim, like Stanley said. I can see his point. I like his point. You start becoming a victim, don't you, rather than
right.
being in a relationship. I like that, what he said. Yeah.
You know, exactly. He's a, I think he dropped now and he hung up, but that was a very good thing for him to say because it was a valid point. Yes, there's a lot of things that you have, there's certain ways that you have to act if you're in a relationship anyway. Like, when I went through the situation of cheating, a lot of us really stupid women, and I say stupid because when we fall in love, we forget we have brains.
Yeah.
And usually the first thing that a woman does when her husband or boyfriend is cheating, she wants to go after the woman.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Now, my theory is this. Unless it's a friend that knows the situation.
I'm sorry. I don't go after the woman. I go after the guy first.
Yeah, I'm going after the guy first. I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes guys could be the silliest creatures on earth, but they have the most sharpest whips when of pickup lines when they're trying to get something that they see. And what they do is they think of a way to explain away their situation at home, counting on the fact that a woman is going to be all blushed up listening to all the great sweet words that he's pouring in her ear, and she's not going to ask all the important questions. All right? Now, my thing is, if I was to catch it or get a whiff of it, I'm going after my guy first because you knew the situation you were in when you walked out the door before you started this.
Yeah.
That person may not know who he is and don't know he's married or whatever the case is. So you're going to be the first one. But then here was my deal. Once I got to the female and I explained, you know, the situation, I say, look, honey, I know how he does things. That's my trash. I got to deal with it. But let me let you know the situation. Now, if after that situation and that conversation, now she's to blame as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
the way it was for me. Because now you know. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that when he walked into the club, the bar, the supermarket, whatever it was, and spun his magic, you didn't know. You didn't know him from Adam. But now you know. He told you he has 2 kids. No, dear, he has 7.
Okay,
he told you that he's not married. No, we're still together. This is a situation. I'm going to leave it alone. What was said to you, let me quell it. Let me give you the facts. That way you know what you're dealing with. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The only time I will go after a female friend, and I still will go after the man before she gets anything, is if it's a family friend, somebody who's been around us, somebody who knows the situation. And since I usually have a rule that no woman stays with my man alone and vice versa, I usually don't find myself in that type of a situation. Okay? But he's absolutely right. There is ownership. Everybody knows that they're in a predicament. They know, not a predicament, but in a situation. If you walk out this door and you know that you are a married man or woman and you're going out with some married friends and one single, you know, what we like to call party hopping person, then you need to know how to put yourself in your own wear your own hat, in other words. Because you would have no excuse to do what your single friend is allowed to do. And not expect some type of confrontation or something. So let me ask you, Rod, I'm going to go to Cameron and send you next. Tell me
I'm
something
bad.
Else.
I
what
like
do you
think? Chocolate if I'm single. Sí, dame
no.
la taquita. Yo tengo mucho hambre.
Okay, so now I'm going to put a scenario on the table. All right? This is what I think can be something that a couple can improvise with. And this is one that I see often. there's a person that's used to fighting for themselves. They're used to doing everything on their own. They're used to nobody be around them in their corner. Now, they're not used to anybody that says anything in their life being for real and sincere or really sticking around. They finally get somebody that is. That's all that. They're interested in what you are thinking. They want to know what you're feeling. They got your back when you're down. They got your back when you're up. They're interested in your dreams and your hobbies. Okay, but you're not used to that. So the minute that something happens, the first thing you want to do is be upset, snap, and walk off to yourself. Okay, this person is telling you, this person is telling you, you need to understand that this hurts me because you're no longer by yourself. Okay, you're not by yourself anymore, and I do care about what happens to you. And I do want to know that even if I can't make a solution, at least I could be there so that you can vent out and you have somebody here with you to give you a hug or to just be around you, do whatever. You understand? That person says, you know what, you're right, but I'm not used to this, so you got to bear with me. Okay, well, 2, 3, 4, 5 months go by. How long does it take for you to start at least to second think yourself and go, you know what? Wait, let me backtrack. I'm sorry. I can't express it right now because I'm angry, but if you give me a little while, I'll come back and I promise to share everything with you.
Just think of
that. That will help that person understand you more, and it won't be such a stick. Okay, so that's my opinion. That's something that can come to the table and be negotiated. Let me ask my panelists what if they agree. Sin Monday, do you agree with that? Do you agree that if a person is not, that one of the things that can be negotiated or improvised on from a couple standpoint is if one person is normally a fighter for themselves. They're usually by themselves. They don't have anybody that's in their corner, so anything they go through, they usually figure it out for themselves. They're not used to even people in their lives being sincere. But now they have somebody that is. So the first thing that happens is they get into a situation that upset them, hurt them, made them scared, made them angry, but they're not used to being able to go to somebody to talk to, and they're forgetting they have somebody now. So their person tells them, listen, when you pull away or when you go do this by yourself, it hurts me because you don't, you're not by yourself anymore. Okay? Do you think that the person should be able to just say, well, that's the way I am. Okay, I'm used to doing this, or is that one of the things that a person who is used to doing that can learn to improvise with or give a little bit to that person that they're not used to doing? Do you think that that's a change that somebody could start to make for the sake of their relationship? Let me start with you, Sin Monday.
I think it depends on the length of time that you've been on your own. I mean, somebody like myself that's very independent, and then when you all of a sudden you've got somebody there, you're not sure. Sometimes it's hard to deal with. You're like, oh, wow, oh, my God. And you're kind of not used to it at first. But, I mean,
4 or 5 months. I'm going to – don't worry, Rod and Elaine. I'm going to get to you because I want to ask you this. Four or five or six months into relationship, when this person is still there, still supportive, still whatever, telling this person who's used to being alone that it hurts them when they pull away, do you think 6 months is enough time for a person to at least start to try to make a change on that reaction?
Definitely.
They can't.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But they've got to want to, really, and they've got to feel that they can trust that other person. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, I like what Stanley said, you've got to take responsibility for yourself. And I think that was great what he said, his speech. Is he still there? Is he still here? I do really like what he said, and about, it's your own, it's about your own fears. I think that's excellent what he said.
Yeah, he made some very excellent points.
Is he still there?
He brought up examples of different types of things that go in a relationship. He's right. If somebody asks you to give up the life that they met you in, okay, and that, you know, they can't deal with the relationship if that person doesn't give up everything, that's control. That's not a relationship. That's a dictator.
Is he gone?
Okay?
Is he gone? Has he left the panel? Did he leave the panel?
Yeah, he did. I hope he's still listening,
Good. I thought he was excellent, his points, you know, what he said, you know, about that, about, you know, you have to take ownership. But at the end of the day, I think to somebody.
But at the end of the day, too, at the end of the day, you're not alone anymore. You're not single anymore, too. So there's a double-edged sword on that one.
You've got to be able to accept that and establish that within yourself, and you've got to make sure, I mean, 4 or 5 months, I don't think it's too much of a time to really establish a true trust. And you've got to look at your, you've got to, the baggage that you've had previously. I mean, I guess you've got to get over that. I mean, I was in a relationship that I said briefly about, the guy walked away, was basically did the coward thing. And my thing is, if I meet somebody else, and I'll be thinking, oh my God, I wonder whether they'll do the same again, you know, have them call me for a couple of days or something. You know what I'm saying? You've really got to get it from your inside. You really, you know, it's something that needs to come from your inside and, what, dealing with your fears and what have you. I don't think 4 or 5 months is that much of a length of time to really say that, yeah. And
no, it may not.
I wouldn't say. Yeah.
6 months is not enough time for you to change a lifetime of anything. But it is enough time for you to keep, to have tried to get yourself into the practice of it. That I believe. You can't tell me that after 6 months you don't know that person is in your corner. You don't know what that person hurts by or feels. You know, that's enough time for you to say, wait a minute. You know, all this time that I've turned this way, this person's still there. Well, I know that I'm not into it yet, but let me go back and think it over and breathe and come back and say it again. I'm not saying that that person needs to apologize each and every time, even though if they commit a new infraction, they should. But I'm saying that it's time for you to start going, wait a minute, the old way didn't work for me. It made me angry. I was constantly defensive. I was this. I didn't trust anybody. This person's been in my life now for some time, been trustworthy. And that, like our previous caller said, that doesn't stop the fact that there's. I see you, caller. Just hang on a minute. That doesn't stop the fact that a long term, you know, that you could go a year, like he said, and still break up. But at least you'll have a basic idea of saying, you know what, this person's been in my life. I'm used to fighting everybody, but being around this person, I don't want to do that so often. But you still got fears. You still have fears.
Of course, they're never going to go away. Everybody's going to have fears in a relationship, aren't they, no matter what? I mean, people have been together for years, split up. But I guess one may want to take a chance and, you know, a friendship takes a long time to build up, don't they? You know, it's not just about them being there. You know, there's a lot more elements to it, isn't there? You know what I mean? You know, a lot more elements to a relationship than somebody just being there. I mean, you just don't know, do you? I mean, you know, in essence, 4 or 5 months, okay, you might start, you know, the trust is maybe there, but in essence, you still don't really know a person to a degree. I don't think so, anyway. Not really. You know, I mean, after a year, yes, you know, and then you're talking a bit more. Along that element, you know, essence or whatever. You know, it takes time, and it depends how often you are together as well. I mean, these long-term relationships, then, you know, that's going to, you know, say if it was a long-term, it depends. Are you talking a relationship within close proximity or,
I'm not bringing anything extra like long-distance relationships.
Okay.
And I did call out, like I said, I do see you there. Just give me a second. I'm not talking long-distance. Let's just talk standard, ideal, face-to-face relationships. People living together, people, you know, exclusive with each other. They're together. 6 months, I think, is enough time for somebody to begin to change something like being defensive. Okay, I'm not saying you're still not going to do it, but at least this time around, you start to come down a little bit and go, you know what, I acknowledge that I'm still feeling that way. It's something I got to work on. But if this time you don't just go off and still be in a corner by yourself, now you go, you know what, I couldn't express it then because I'm not used to saying certain things when I'm angry, but let me tell you what took place. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to push you away or I don't mean to feel that way. Now, I'm going to ask you, Rod, do you agree with that? Do you agree with that point or disagree?
I think 6 months is enough time to change because But my old Hellraiser, I had 9 years of that stuff. And I try to make up because it's when you get used to somebody and they're on your last nerve, it's hard to just say, you know what, the hell with you, I'm done with this. But we revisit this every few months. You get better a little bit. Jealousy gets better. I think you're starting to become a real person that trusts me, especially since you see me every day. And then it starts all over again. So that's enough time to see some change, to expect some change, you know, and have one of those grown folk conversations and say, listen, I'm willing to work with you. I do love you, but I don't love this part of you. And I'm doing my damnedest to help you not be this way. And I need things to change in order to stay in this, because it's hard to say I love you to somebody who's given you all that hell that's unnecessary. It'd be one thing if I was guilty. It'd be another thing if I'm innocent. I'm not doing anything wrong. So definitely, and to sum up, that's more than enough time to expect some change. I mean, not a complete change, but see that they're working on it.
Bingo. And you know something? You just brought it up from the opposite point, which is a good point to touch on too. 6 months is enough time for you to change something that you're used to doing that's not so beneficial. It's also enough time to see if somebody is trying to go the other way. Like, you know, you can see if somebody is doing better or is interested, like you said, in dropping their behavior or, like you said, working on it. Elaine, I'm going to pose the same question to you. Do you agree that 6 months is enough time to start making, putting a decent dent in something?
But then 6 months, yes, it should be more than enough time to get to know the person, to see how they are, and if they certain things that you're not comfortable with or the person's not comfortable with you, hopefully that they both will be able to come down to an agreement if they want to continue the relationship, you know. So, I mean, it would be a good idea that after like a certain amount of time, like, okay, this is what has to happen. I still like you. I know you still like me. So let's do certain things so we can work things out together as a team if we want to continue this relationship. In my point of view, when people start, you know, controlling another person, trying to know what to do and taking away, you know, they wanted to take away a responsibility, and the person is like, by all means, letting them, you know, I feel that, yeah, it has to do with a lot with they have no trust. They have no trust, and they are in fear. And they replace trust with fear a lot, and they shouldn't be doing that. You know, if they're in fear of something, then they have to get over that fear and keep going. Say, you know what, yes, you do this, you do that. You're the same person that I met when I first met you, so I'm gonna keep on moving forward because that's what I like. That's why I like when I first met you, and that's why I want to continue to like. You know, so people replace trust with fear too much, and that's where the relationship starts to crumble.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a new panelist. Let me bring them in, okay? Everyone, hold on. Welcome, Coley, on the air.
Hey, Katie, how you doing? This is Dean calling from Cali. How you doing?
Hi, Dean. Welcome back. How are you?
What's good? I was listening to y'all online and whatnot. You know, I just had some comments and whatnot, you know, about relationships and stuff like that.
Okay,
can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
One point was like, I think women set themselves up for failure in relationships because, number one, they think they can change somebody. And if you're talking with somebody and you already know, because people got personalities, and if you accept them and you, when people show you who they are, you're supposed to believe them. And if they got certain ways about them and you think 6 months later they're going to change, I'm saying y'all delusion, because the reality is, for example, it's an extreme example, if a person's a cheater and you think just because they're with you for 6 months they're going to change, that's not going to happen. Or if a person is controlling and he used to having things done his way, or she's used, because I date a lot of controlling females too, and stuff like that, and I knew they weren't going to change, so I didn't hang around for 6 months. I'm just saying, some things you just ain't got to hang around for a long time to know it ain't going to work. And so when I hear you guys talking about, you know, hang around for 6 months to see if somebody's going to change or not, why are you waiting for somebody to change instead of just getting with somebody that's compatible with you?
That's not what was said, though, Dean. Hold on, that's not what was said. First of all, Dean, a lot of people come in giving their best foot forward, the honeymoon sugar glaze approach to get there. They'll give you their best foot forward. So, and some people, and it's not just women. I wanted to let you know. Usually, when you come on, you do say it's about women seeing this or whatever. Let me tell you.
I only came on a couple of times, and I was just saying from a man's point of view. I wasn't speaking from a woman's point of view. I can only give you from a man's
too.
Point of view.
Let me, guys, too.
Say women, men, and women both are guilty of this. I want to, before you put words in my mouth, I want to say that. But I'm just speaking from a man's point of view. That's the only reason I come from that way.
Yeah, because
once red flags, I'm gone.
Women are just as guilty of being what you call chameleons. And I got to tell you this. In the instances of the Jekyll and Hyde situation, it's usually the guys that wind up having more crazy baby mamas than there is girls having crazy baby daddies. You understand?
Right. Just so my point would be like we both messed up sometimes like that, men and women.
Guys don't assess so quickly for a personality. But think about this. Get into what you said. You're absolutely right to a point. And so is the other quote to a point. What we were speaking about with, in terms of 6 months is this. You're right. There are certain people that no matter what kind of cleanup or window dressing or pretty fancy little fluffy, gift wrapping that they give you. If they're a certain way, some of it shows from the beginning and it keeps it moving. I'm speaking more on this. There's a person that's a loving person deep down inside, does all the right things, but is not used to trusting people because they've been in a bad situation constantly all the time. Okay,
right.
They don't believe anything anybody says because they've heard it all before. But now they found somebody who has done nothing like those people, and still they're expecting it to be like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
But they got a word for what you say. It's called baggage. And so when you bring baggage into your new relationship, that's on you.
Yeah.
Okay, what I'm asking you is, do you believe that 6 months is enough time for that person to start at least packing away a little bit of their baggage with them to start trusting the person who's been by their side for that amount of time, at least for you to give that person time or you can see a noticeable change?
Well, I would say, a lot of time I'm not going to be invested. A lot of time when people bring their baggage, I'm not going to hang around for 6 months if they got problems like that sometimes. So it depends what the baggage is. If they want to always argue because they got issues, I think they need a psychiatrist or therapist, not a boyfriend. So I'm saying, maybe you're not ready for a boyfriend or a husband or whatever right now. Maybe you need to deal with you first and then get into a relationship, because that will get rid of some of the bringing that baggage into the new relationship. Because I feel sorry for the new guys or the new females that's got to put up with this, and they'd be like, 6 months later, we still dealing with that. You'd be like, they need professional help. They don't need time. Mm-hmm. It could be 8 months. It could
like
be a year.
I like that, Rod.
That's true. So I'm asking
you. I agree with that one.
Whether you personally, Dean, will stick around for 6 months or not, for those that decide to, do you think within 6 months there should be a noticeable change or a pretty good assessment of the situation within that time frame? Do you feel that person by then, if they haven't been able to be trustful of people, have been with somebody who has been nothing but trustworthy, should at least be able to start to rethink how they would normally react with this particular person? So is that a yes or a no?
Unless therapy, 6 months, it could be 6 months or 6 years, that person not going to change until they get help.
And what if they do? What if in 6 months you start to see maybe they're not as quick to go and stay off in the corner and not say anything and keep their mouth closed and puffed out and everything? What if that, if those little changes are starting to show progress? Because maybe they're not, people don't normally take quickly to psychiatric care. Usually when you mention going to a therapist, people say, oh, I'm not crazy. So that's who you are.
Well, maybe we need to take that stigma from it. You know, you're not crazy to go to the therapist. A lot of people go there to get help.
Katie,
I mean,
can
we go to a doctor.
All right.
Can I just
I'm sorry.
It's psychiatrist.
Wait. I'm hearing like four voices and I can't get nobody's one question. What did you say for Monday?
Psychiatrists deal with mental illness. Therapists just put people straight. You don't have to see a psychiatrist for therapy. A therapist can be a state-certified social worker that deals generally in relationships. It's nothing to do with mental illness. Psychiatry is to do with mental illness. This isn't about mental illness. I'm just putting it straight. A therapist is somebody that can be a state-certified social worker, a state-certified RN that deals with that, that's got qualifications. You don't have a psychiatrist deals with mental illness. A little bit different. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, when the guy was...
Well, the average person doesn't know how to separate. The average person doesn't know how to separate what the mental illness, psychiatry, and therapist does. People hear psychotherapy and they think you're crazy. Now, I have a new panelist. Just hang on a second. Welcome to the panel, Cordell. You're on the air.
Good evening, panel. Sorry, I'm late.
Good evening, Deacon. All right, Deacon, what you have heard, weigh in on it?
Well, my take on this is it all depends on the person as far as the 6 month thing goes. It all depends on the situation that they're trying to get let go of. You know, because like I say, it's remember that there was a song by Earth, Wind and Fire, "The Whole World is a Masquerade."
Mm-hmm.
Anybody remember that?
Yes.
Okay, there was a lot of truth to that song if you remember the words. And that's
really
only true.
Here?
Say again?
Are we really happy here? Just some of the words of that song, Masquerade.
Right. And a lot of people, they know they can't change somebody, but it all depends on the situation. It could be a child involved, and they figure, well, if I stay here, I don't want to be, you know, like somebody that walked away from my child or something, or wanted to be away from the child or something like that. You never know what the situation is, you know. So as far as, and it all depends on how many years they have been in that situation. So it takes time, maybe a little bit more than 6 months sometimes. It all depends on the person and the situation that they're coming out of.
Okay, so let me ask you something, Deacon, and I'll pose this question to the rest of the panelists. Let's say that this person is a person, like you said, many a years of baggage, many a years of certain things happening the same way. But you've gotten with this new person and you've established a pattern of happiness to a point where those things now you're not used to talking about it, but you find yourself talking to that person. And that person has been there, and every time that you speak, it's been great. But suddenly one great thing happens, or one thing happens, and that person reverts right back to it, right back to what they used to do. Mind you, this person is still there saying, don't push me away, I'm still here. That didn't work for you before. We're going to a new direction. And that person is saying you're right, they go back to it, and then they go right back to doing what they did. So what wasn't good for them? What is your take on that?
Well, like I said, it all depends on the person and what the situation was. That's just my feeling, you know, because if it's just like, okay, if you're sitting and you're how can I put this? Oh my goodness. You know what? This is why I chimed in, because the discussion is very, very, very interesting, because it's just dealing with feelings and people, and that's it amazes me. It just boggles my mind, because everybody is so unique and different in so many ways, and they have different ways of reacting to certain things. That's why it's kind of hard for me to give you a straight up answer. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes. Okay. So I'm gonna give you a minute, and I'm gonna go to you, Rod. You've been quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you feel, let's give a little better spin on the situation. There's a couple that's together. It's been about 6 months. or just getting there. The couple has been consistently okay with each other pretty much, that, you know, they're both in a situation. Let's say that they both have baggage on both their ends. Both don't believe that they had anybody in their corner. These two got together and they're each other's cornerstone, okay? Mm-hmm. And that one of them gets into a situation. Usually what happens is this person will get into a situation and definitely call the other one. And everybody's mind is at ease for a while. Not necessarily that there was a solution to the problem, but at least the feelings of abandonment and having to deal with that situation alone, okay, is no longer a factor because now you have this person. Mm-hmm. But that one person runs right back to the other situation, back to the way it used to be, forgetting all about the fact that this person is there telling them, listen, I'm still here, okay? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think that's something that can be improvised and discussed?
I'm going to say yeah, because it's like I love the stuff my face, and once I get too used to a woman's cooking, especially after we're talking 6 months, I'm not willing to pull up steaks and say, you know, this really irritates me, but I'm still ready to work it out. Let's sit down again. Let's revisit why you're still so sensitive, what's going on, because I still like the way she handled that chicken. I love throwing it up in the air when they're coming back, saying my name. All right, so I'm going to hang in there and pat her head a little bit and say, let's work this out.
Let's put you on the peg. I'm going to put you on the peg. You're the person with the attitude. You're the one that, you know, your brothers and your sisters were not nice. The women in your life before her was a mess. And you know that when somebody takes you off, okay, you're either ready to fight, okay, or you're ready to go off in the corner and be upset. And you don't, nobody's around you anyway, you don't talk to, but you have this woman who could cook for you too, right? Okay, you said cook it. All right. Mm-hmm. She's telling you, why do you keep doing this? We both are in the same position. We both have not had people before, but we're supposed to be reaching to each other. That's the way it's been going. Why would you go back to doing what wasn't good for you before me?
Well, then you go, okay,
you know, you're right. But you do it, and then you push her away, and you go off into a corner, and you don't call for a while. You're ignoring her messages or something like that because you're in a funk. You're pissed off, okay? Is that something that could be worked at? Do you think that's something that's asking too much of a person to try to remember what you started?
Definitely no. It can always, almost, not always. It can work stuff out, and I'm very vocal. It's like I never hold back because I have a bad temper too. So if I'm upset and feeling a certain way, I'm going to make sure you know it.
Yeah,
and we'll sit down and we'll work it out. I mean, if I'm the cause of it, it's like I'll try to sit down and take a couple of breaths and step back from the situation and see if we can work it out because I'm far from perfect.
Okay.
Everybody is.
Yeah, I'll have to sit and work on some toasted walnut fudge for a while so I can calm down.
Okay, so Dean, I'm going to pose a question to you.
Yes, yes.
So what do you think? You found that person that you've been with for quite some months now. This person's a little different. They sort of changed from what you used to. Been trustworthy, got your back. Now you got somebody that you've been starting to do things differently, where you talk your problems out with somebody who's actually listening now. It's been your happy place for some time. Okay, you got into a situation like it used to be. You went back to pouting, going into a corner by yourself or dealing with it by yourself. She's telling you, why are you doing that? That used to make you unhappy. I'm here for you. We started talking before. It used to be better for you. Why would you go back to what used to be wrong for you when I'm still sitting here? And this hurts me.
Right.
Okay? Do you feel it's something that can be worked out or you should rethink for the sake of that you have somebody in your life and there's a relationship now?
I would say it's not about her. I say, you know, baby girl, it's not you. I mean, you great. I like the food, the sex, everything is nice. It's me. It's me. It's me. I got issues, and I'm trying to work it out with you, you know, and stuff like that. But I just need more time, you know, and stuff like that. Because it comes back to back. Because the other person I think always thinks is about them and that they did something. I'll be like, it's something I got to work out. You could be the best partner for me. But if I got issues, you know, if I'm not talking to a therapist about it or a pastor or somebody, you know, I got these issues. I'm walking around with this stuff in me. I'm not really ready for a relationship probably. You know, I can't – I'm not emotionally available. I might be physically available but not emotionally available. And so you get in the physical, but I can't be emotionally there for you. Because what did T.G. Jakes say not too long ago? You looking for a gallon person of love, and I only can give you a pint because that's all I got to give right now. I don't have a gallon to give.
You got to eat more chicken, young man.
That's a good point. But now let me ask you something. Very funny, Rod. I hear you.
More than slapping.
I hear you. I hear you, cooking factory. I hear you over there in the peanut gallery. I hear you. Okay. Well, Dean, you know what? That was an excellent point. But let me ask you now from this spin, okay? Let me ask you this spin. Now, you say maybe he's not ready. Maybe it's not about you. No, it's not. But if you have the option, okay, if there's an option sitting right in front of you and you've been taking this option for some months, and by the way, I think 6 months is enough time for you to start going, you know what, wait a minute. Let me just cool off. And you know what, I am used to doing this. I'm still not over that, you know, street defense type thing. But I can't just go off and not speak to her or speak to him, because girls do it too, okay? Not speak to him, but at least, you know what, at least let me tell her, I need to work this out right now, and as soon as I can, I'm going to tell you all about it. Not say, you can't help me, or, I'm used to doing this. This is just who I am. Give me a break. It's 6 months. You got to start making
But couldn't you take into event, like, men and women, or just people, communicate differently. They got different love languages, like that book say, right? The five love languages. And so you might be used to communicating a certain way, and they grew up in a way where they don't communicate like that. They don't talk like that. But just saying, your family, they talk like that. But he said, I'm showing you I love you because I'm coming home every night. I'm giving you the money every night. I'm not cheating, so you should know I love you. But you want him to say it because you want them people that got to say I love you. And being that y'all talking, you communicate differently, you can't just say I want you to communicate just like I communicate, because that's kind of being selfish too. You know, you got to respect that person is not like you.
That's
they,
true.
They communicate differently.
That's true. I mean, I was in a situation like that. That is like before my ex, he would say, I love you every 15 minutes. And so you say, I love you back every 15 minutes. In a regular relationship,
that's
fine. But then after a while, years go by, I love you, to the point I'm like, yeah, you know? And so I start mumbling out the words, you know? And then, oh, how do you look at I love you? So listen, you got one I love you for me. You're lucky. That's it. It's simple.
Exactly. Good. He said, I'm coming home to you, so you should know it. I shouldn't have to say it over and over again. That's how he communicates.
No.
Now, you might communicate differently. Like, if I don't hear it, I got a problem with it. Or why don't you say this? Or why don't you hug me in public enough? Or why don't you do it?
Mm-hmm.
He might just don't communicate like that. Not saying that he don't love you or she don't love you. I'm just saying they communicate differently.
Yeah,
I'm going to stop talking in that voice and
I
sound like that Dr.
Right.
Phil. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Dr. Phil. Yeah, absolutely right on that one. And that's not what I mean, because you know what? Partners do need to know to give space. But here's another situation, and this is when it comes to that, all right, that you got to think about. If the other person has no damn clue, all right, why you're off when you just were talking and suddenly you disappeared, when you just were being told something happened, I'm going to get back to you, and you don't, then something is. Now, don't you think that person on the other end is going to, if you just said, I'm going to come back to you, and then suddenly you don't, and then that person sees the person, but they didn't come to their partner yet, okay? Don't you think that person's going to start worrying something happens? You know, what is it about me? Yes, you leave that channel open for a person to start wondering because you didn't communicate when you were before. You understand what I'm saying, Dean?
But I hear you, but, like, it seems like, you know, when a person comes to a relationship with baggage and their ways of doing things, a lot of times they're going to rebellious to when people want them to change. Like for example, if you get a relationship with somebody and they want you to call them every 5 minutes, you know, and stuff, say, like, to check in, they're going to be like, that's not how I do it, you know, and then that
yeah.
could be a thing where it could be big for her because she's like, you know, I'm worried about you. I'm like, I don't know why you worried. I mean, you just talked to me like an hour ago. You know, so that could be a problem, and that could be her issue instead of his issue.
Listen,
yeah,
if you need somebody to call you every 5 minutes, that's a problem, and I'm sorry. That's a
Should be a T-shirt right there. I like
yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Nobody said that. Same thing to me with those telephone calls. He has to hear me an hour after hour after hour. I'm like, listen, you heard me 2 hours ago. You ain't going to hear from me until later on tonight.
I mean, if I can understand, even if they're your husband or whatever, that's a bugaboo right there. I mean,
yeah,
I can't
no,
deal with
no.
that.
No, no. I don't think nobody should have to call anybody every 5 minutes. Absolutely not. That's a check-in. Okay, that's like prison or parole. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that our culture, you know, Latin culture, they're very expressive and touchy-feely, if you know what I mean. Everybody that walks into, whenever you see somebody, you may not have seen this uncle or aunt for 19 years, but when they come in, it's a hug and a kiss and, oh, how you doing?
Yeah.
And, oh, sweetheart, and this. Okay, I'm used to all that. I'm very affectionate. I'll do X, Y, and Z, no problem.
Hold on, let me write that down. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, shut up, B. very funny.
Hey,
no, but I'm the type of person, too. I will send a text to the person that I'm with, not because I expect an answer, but, look, I'm thinking about you, you know, have a good day. Or I'll send a joke or something flirty or whatever the case is. That's me. Not necessarily saying that I need you to text back. You just know what I'm thinking because that's who I am. Not a big deal. It's not a handcuff or an ankle bracelet so that you can't go 100 feet. It's not about that. But there is a certain expectation when somebody says to you, or you've been doing a certain thing a certain way, and you can always count on each other for that. The minute that you stop counting or that person disappears for some time and you don't know why, the first thing you're going to be is like, what I do? The second thing you're going to be, wait a minute, it's been a while and this is not like them. What's
right.
going on? Okay? If that person starts to go, you can't help me, that might be true, but it doesn't mean you don't express what is going on and do whatever. If you start turning to things that used to be a problem for you again, then what are you saying about what you've established now? You understand what I'm saying? That's my question. What is the thing about everything that you've changed for progress that you're doing now? That's like a person that's been sober for 6 months and took a drink when the first time something got really, really dicey. When that was the reason why you went to AA in the first place, because you started drinking because every time you got into a deep situation, you didn't know how to handle it. You had nobody to help you handle it. So I'm going to pose that question to you, Deacon.
Boy, it's been a long time since y'all were just getting it on. I was just sitting back and enjoying it.
You're not ready. I'll go to another panelist and get their opinion, and you can think it through.
I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, all of you have got very good points. Very good points. It just like I said, I feel it depends on the person and what they've had to deal with, especially if it's been a long relationship that they're trying to get rid of. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I mean, say for instance, you have a person that's in a relationship and they have been used to being close, you know, keeping things to themselves, and then when they finally opened up and started expressing themselves and letting people know how they feel, and then all of a sudden it wasn't all what they thought it would be, because it was like somebody had just played a play. Let's say were, you know, and they showed one side of them, and then when they felt like they were really comfortable, it's like, ah, yeah, gotcha. And it's like, it's too late then, because the feelings have gotten so strong in that relationship, it's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
You know? And so when once you find that out, it's like, well, okay, this is something that I dug for myself, so I might as well sit here and try and wait till it just phases out, you know. But see, when you get in a situation like that, it's not good for either one to still be in each other's presence if you're not happy. You know, it could be a situation where the one person is going all out to try and make sure that everybody else is happy in the situation, and they're not happy themselves. You know what I'm saying? And something like that doesn't work. I mean, if a person is in a situation like that, of bending over backwards and making sure everybody else is happy, and they're not happy themselves, and then it gets to a point to where you say, well, okay, I'm done with doing this. I can't do this no more. And then you're walking around with your guards up all the time with the fear of letting your guard down again to have the same thing happen to you again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. True.
You know, you can get in situations like that that will make you keep your guards up like that. You know, and it's hard to try and say, like, well, 6 months, in 6 months I'm supposed to just change like that overnight. It's not going to happen.
That's true.
Okay, now let me ask you from this point of view, okay? You're first of all, the situation that you just described, Deacon, that is definitely a perfect example of one person improvising or compromising, or even, let me go there, sacrificing on an unfair basis, okay? It's like you're pulling for a team that doesn't exist because everybody's individuals, okay? So I get that part. Now, let's say you have that baggage, and you come into a person that has the same baggage, and you're the one that is convincing the person to open up and trust, because we've both been there and we both feel that way, and we've developed a situation where we both now realize that the other one is that person, is the other one that does give that feeling we've been looking for and didn't have all this time. And everything's going a certain way for 6 months. Okay, 6 months. Okay,
yeah.
And then suddenly one person reverts out of nowhere to another situation. Now, being that this is a different road that you're walking, the person in your life says to you, listen, please, okay, I know that it's like that. We're used to going that route. Let's do this. But remember, we've established something different. We're supposed to be the people fighting the world together, okay? We're supposed to be fighting the world together. So if we fight each other, if we pull away from each other, it's not going to make it better. Now what? Now what happened? Now what do you say?
Well, I still say if you're talking about baggage, if you open up somebody's suitcase, you're gonna find that you don't have the same kind of baggage that you're carrying around. It's all different. It all depends on what the situation is. That's just my opinion. You know, and like your baggage may have not been marinated as long. You know, so it could take you a little bit longer to get comfortable. But you know, you're having that same urge and that feeling to want that. You know what I'm saying? You want that, but you're still kind of standoffish a little bit. Even though you're willing to express on how you feel to the other person, you know, but you're still kind of on your guard. Was like, well, I don't want to have a repeat and go right back to something that has happened to me before, because hey, it really cuts deep. You know?
But what if you're the person that's making the repeat happen? You understand what I'm saying to you? What if you're the person that's doing the job that makes the repeat happen?
What do you mean
to
make
that? Okay, yeah, like I said, if you are the person that initiated asking the other person to lower their walls to trust you because you've been in that situation and you would never repeat that hurt to anyone else, especially a person that's been with you and then, you know, been there with you and been through it and has shown you that they're there, okay, and that this is what you feel and this is going on. But you are the person that is going off and pushing away and doing whatever, despite this person telling you, I'm still there. I'm still where we're at, where we progress. You're the one that's going, well, okay, I understand. And then you go back and do the same thing. It's you that's
You know what? With that point you just made, it just makes me say, well, That's our human side. We as the human side of each other, we can always give another person advice But it's hard as hell to follow our own advice a lot of times.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
you know,
true.
And we are all like that. We are all like that. Nobody. That's one thing that's unique about us. All of us have that little trait in us. You know, we can see somebody going through something and knowing that we're going through something ourselves, but we can advise them, hey, look, this is what you should do. You're a much better person than that. You know, and that person didn't deserve you in the first place. So you know what? Don't be walking around with your head. Now you hold your head up. You know, because there's so much more inside of you that you got to let the world see. You know, but then that person that's giving you that advice is really tore up inside themselves.
And I would like to add, too, that every relationship just don't need to be fixed. Because everybody's trying to fix it. Sometimes you guys just walk away from some stuff. Because, a lot of times, you know, you just got to know when to walk away. Because you can just stay there and waste time, waste years, waste months, whatever, because trying to fix something that you can't fix, you know. Sometimes that's that person's issues. And if you stay there, you know, you become codependent in it. But you ain't in no relationship. You're in a codependent kind of situation. And why not stop trying to fix stuff sometime and just say, at the end of the day, I choose me sometime. I love you or whatever, but just say, I choose me this time. And I ain't going to feel guilty about it.
Right, correct.
Right.
She said you're whispering because your girl hear you talking and you know you might get in trouble.
What? Hello.
My gosh.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hush, peanut gallery. Hush, you over there in the California peanut gallery. Hush.
He got the pillow over his head.
There's a whole bunch of them over there.
Past curfew time.
Okay. Ms. Arad, you've been a little quiet over there. Weigh in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys asked me earlier, if I was a problem. Remember me and my Toasted Walnut Fudge would throw our tantrum and yell, but I tried to go back, because I keep my toolbox handy. I'd like to think that I can fix almost anything. Any clock, we can sit back and say, let's just throw this spring out, maybe next time. She'd be right.
Sometimes you need help. You need to tag that therapist in. You got to tag that therapist in, I'm thinking.
You know
excellent
what?
Excellent point, Bob. I'm going to tell you this. Excellent point that you just made. If you look at what it is and you go back and say, next time, I'll do it this way. Because if you've got something that's in place and it's not a broken relationship, Mr. Dean over there in Cali.
I got issues. Y'all pray for me. I'm just saying.
That's all right. We're all human. Don't worry about it. No. But seriously, if you're being told, now you know what I think really kind of fizzles me the most when I see a couple that's really good, and the biggest thing is usually a couple breaks up because of lack of communication. When you have somebody telling you over and over again that this is the deal, and you don't fix that deal that you can fix right on the spot, okay, then you start losing out on something that you have. That's not broken, that's perfect, that's whatever, there's a problem. And that perfect is not a good word because nobody's perfect. But what
so
I mean
can
is...
So fix it. And I can say, no me culpa.
What was that, Rod?
No me culpa. I fix it. No. I work hard.
Right, yeah.
Muy duro.
Nice.
No me culpa.
Okay, we gotta figure out where you were over there in the bean machine, right?
Hey, you guys, I'm sorry to cut in, but I have to hang up. I gotta go pick somebody up, but I'll check the rest of the show out in the archives. Enjoying the show.
Okay,
right.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so.
There were some words that were spoken to me at one time, and those words were, the words of the tongue should have three gatekeepers. It's true, it's kind, and it's necessary. You know, and those, and I think those, that saying can also go in with relationships. you know, you let, because whatever's going to come out of your mouth is coming from your heart. You know, usually it is, and if it's not gonna come from your heart, it shouldn't even come out of your mouth. No, so that's why I say. Say again.
I said I believe that.
Yeah. So when it comes to relationships, I can't see how anybody could say anything out of their mouth that don't really mean it. But then again, you have so many things. It's like a small size tornado that goes on inside some people that is just tearing things up, is moving things around, and it's really chaotic a lot of times. But you know, we can get through it. It just takes a little time. And I believe in some situations, like I said, I think 6 months is not long enough, and it takes patience. Patience is a great thing too, so, you know.
Can I just add something as well? I think as well, one needs to look at when you are, it's like, I want to add on to what you're saying, Deacon. I think,
yes.
You know, I was about to say something along the lines of, you took the words out of my mouth, you've got to ask yourself, what I'm wanting to say to this other person, where is it coming from? Is it about me trying to control the situation? Or is it about me trying to, you know, including us both, obviously, is it about me trying to control the situation, or is it about me wanting to make it better for the both of us? I think both individuals need to ask themselves that question from time to time. Why are you saying this? Is it coming because you want to make it both better for the both of us? Or are you wanting to take full control? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, and let me pose this question, okay? Let me make this statement. Yes, that's true. Whatever comes out your mouth should come from your heart. But you forget that humans sometimes say things in the heat of a moment.
Yep.
Oh,
yes. Because I like what the young man said, I have a bit of a temper too. And so a temper is about fear. It's about fear, and, you know, I have to try and find myself not saying anything until I can digest it and think, and then spit it out in the right avenue rather than the wrong avenue. Because when you do get a bit, I mean, I've got a bit of a temper, but sometimes that's mixed with fear because of fear. Or not being able to express oneself.
Okay, so let me ask this question. You know how we always say, don't talk about it, be about it. We've spoken on plenty of previous segments, okay, where we say everybody's talking and nobody's getting up to do anything. Now, if you have the magic wand in your hand where you can actually acknowledge a certain problem about yourself, okay, and you have something that you feel is valuable and you don't want to lose it, okay, shouldn't that be at a point in time where even if you reacted instantaneously the way you normally are used to it, right? Shouldn't there be a time where you go, you know what, this is a part about me I don't like, and I know it's there. And, you know, it's gotten me through before, but it's never been something I was happy with. Okay, it's gotten me through some things. It was a defense mechanism, a survival tactic, but it not was something that I like to do. And now I have somebody in my life, okay, that is enhancing the side of me I want to be. So don't you think that if this person is telling you, I acknowledge that part of you, I accept you with it, but this is something that we have to work on, and the way we work on it is to reach out and deal with it. Don't you think that if that's the way that it's been working and it's been making it better for you, that that's where you should go? Even if you made the mistake of reacting the same way yet again, don't you think that this is a time where you will go, let me think that through again, let me go back and readdress it. I'm sorry it came out that way. That's not the way I meant to do it. I don't want me to push you away. I can't discuss it now because I'm going through a way of trying to get my anger back down, and as soon as it's over, I'll let you know.
Yeah, you've got to
digest
it. Tell the person that you digest. Yeah, I agree. Tell the person that you just got to digest it. Let me get a grip on this before I say anything else because I'm going to say something I regret. Just let me get a hold of this. You have to. I mean, we're all human, aren't we? You know, like,
right.
You know,
right.
You know, and it's like it's about two different people as well. you know, it depends. I mean, you know, if two of you are too alike, it might not work. I mean, what in relationships, one's going to be the stronger one at one point, the other one's going to be a weaker. That's what it's about, give and take, back and forth, isn't it? You know, one person will be stronger at one point, the other one's going to be the, you know, the weakest link. And it's about catching up together, isn't it, in a sense?
Yeah.
Yes, and it's going to reverse.
When somebody pours out their heart and put it out there, and then it winds up getting stomped on and trampled on, you think somebody can just be ready to put their guards down so quickly on something like that? I mean, when you've been a person that put their emotions out and tries to show that other person how much they love and care about them, and then to have that part of the relationship trampled on, like it didn't even mean anything from the beginning. It's like, wow, that was a big disappointment. And it was like they don't even care how bad it hurts you.
Then you're going to put a barrier up then. That's when the barriers will go up, right?
Right.
Yes. Well, let's talk about.
Even though you may meet somebody that shows you a different side, something that you've been looking for, but you're still going to be having that. You're going to have that struggle. You're going to have that struggle. It's going to be. It's not easy. Not going to be easy.
Right.
But if you make the willful decision to go back, you know what? If you actually do trust the new person, okay, and you see that person's been there, done that, knows all about it, understands it, steps back when need be, comes in when need be. Okay, but still let you know, look, I get it, go handle your business, go cool off, go do whatever you got to do, but understand that at the end of this cool off period, you still need to come back and re-communicate, reconnect. When you don't do that, then you lose out on what you have, what you're building, and you go back to what your chains were. I truly believe that. I've lived it out. You guys have heard my story. I've been through this between two people for 21 years, and I had to understand it too. You know, when you're going through something and
often would you say you need to, let's say, reconnect with each other, let's say every 2 weeks, that it's once the blowout happened and you've reached a decision and say, okay, we're going to work on it, you know, like 2 weeks later, you think you sit down and it's like, okay, I've been working on it. How do you think we've been doing since then?
Rod, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. Even earlier, if you can. I believe this. Look, if you feel that you can't speak about it, that's fine, you know, for the time being. Take as much time as you need. But what you don't do in the process, okay, is cut the person off completely while you're going through that period. Because obviously, if it didn't work for you doing it that way before, okay, it's definitely not going to work you going back to the same thing. And I mean, you don't need to be an expert. That's common sense. If you know that you've been trying to drive your car through a dead-end street to get to the other side, and it's a dead end, and your car's been trashed up, and now you have a damn hoopty instead of the Cadillac to start a driver, you kind of want to go around another route, don't you think? You know, you want to go around another way and go, you know what, obviously this wall is not going to break through for my car, so let me go around it. But if you keep on going back to that dead end and banging your head, when are you going to get that gives you bruises?
No, I mean you two sit down together and come up with ideas and say, okay, we're going to try this together. And let's say in 2 weeks we'll sit down again and say, how do you feel about me now and how I feel about you, and have you seen improvements in my behavior? Have I seen improvements in your behavior? Something like that. You know,
that's
so you
awesome.
Can even keep a daily log if you want to, and say, you know, on day two, when you came in at 8:30, you're usually home by 7:30, and you're smelling. You, I could tell that you had a beer, and you told me you had given up drinking, and in the past, when you start drinking, that's when you let loose and start yelling at me.
Right, and that's the perfect way to do it. If the two people are sitting there willing, here's another situation that I think a lot of people make a mistake with, and
I've seen it happen quite a bit. Listen, sometimes that other person, when you feel that you can't open up and talk about the situation because your mind is thinking that when you talk to a person, you're getting a solution. Sometimes that person is not there to solve what you're going through. They're there to help ease the cuts that goes with that situation. Sometimes it's just a matter of you knowing that I'm going to reach out to what makes, you know, Deacon, I'm going to address it from this way. When people come to Christ, right, isn't there like a teaching that once you come to Christ, you come in with all of your stuff that, you know, you're not equipped to handle or take care of by yourself. But doesn't the good book say that you seek out people like you now? Don't you seek out what is better for you, what's not the old ways? I mean, that's what I want to ask you, because you're probably a little more versed in the situation than I am.
Well, yeah, you want to surround yourself around people that's in the same boat. It's just like, okay, if I'm a hairstylist, let's use that as an example. I'm a hairstylist, right? Mm-hmm. And you do nails. You can't come to me and tell me how to do hair, and you do nails.
Right, but both of you are in the beauty business. Well, at some point in time,
right,
both of you have the same drive for the same goal. And you know what? Both of you know the situation about, if you're a hairstylist, that's sort of like an entrepreneurial thing. You have to go
right
out there and get your customers. The same way a person who does nails have to sell themselves. So both of you have one common ground where you understand that people who don't believe in risking everything to try to start your dream, okay, will try to talk bad about it. We try to bring you down with it. Then you and this person, this nail stylist and this hairstylist, both of you have a common ground where you could understand that aspect. Now, both of you can't stop what just happened. Both of you can't take away the fact that that person said it or those people been doing this. But both of you understand and can say, you know what? At the end of the day, we're going to keep moving anyway. You know, at the end of the day, when you and I sit together, at least I'm not as angry about it as I used to be. I don't want to go punch somebody's head in the wall. You understand? But if you sit back there and you start letting all that negative seed sit in your head and you're stewing in your own juices and you're not sitting up there going to the people who used to take you out of the fire or who has been taking you out of the fire, where are you putting yourself in with the progress that you've made? And what does that say about the person that you have established this great connection with? You know.
Well, you know, I was just at a service to where a preacher was talking about, as far as changing, or someone trying to change someone. That is not our job. We can't change anybody. We have to be the ones to change ourselves. You know, the only person that could change me, you, or anybody else is the Creator. That is the only one that could do any changes. And then you have to want to change yourself. You know, there's a lot of things in my life that I want to change, and I know I have to change, but I have to work at that. Nobody else can work on that for me. It has to be, it's not about anybody else. It's not that the person that I'm talking to is not cared for. I don't want them to think that they're not cared for, because they are greatly. Because I could never be a person to tell someone that, okay, this is the way I feel, this is the way I'm thinking, but and then turn around and then say, well, no, that's not what I'm feeling, that's not what I'm thinking. Because when I say it out of my mouth, I mean exactly what I say. You know, but I just need somebody to be patient with me and just to know that person is going to be there. You know, and you know, I have to understand that some of the things that I'm dealing with, I have to deal with it.
Let me ask you something, Deacon, with that, because that is a great point. And it's not about changing the person. But if that person wants to change and that person has somebody in his life that's helping them do that, right, don't you think that you owe it to the progress and to the person to try to keep going that way? If you already
know
had it, you've already done it, don't you think that person and yourself, you owe it to yourself to sit there and go, you know what, I did it this way before, and this person is telling me that it bothers them, and you know what, I could do differently because I don't like doing it the old way anyway?
Yeah, Well, you have a point there, but it all depends on the situation, Katie. It really does. It really all depends on the situation and what type of people that you're dealing with, you know?
Right. Okay, that's a fair answer. You know, guys, we are down to our last 3 minutes, so let's get your final thoughts in.
It's like, you know, what the deacon says, it's about two independent people. And I think coming into a relationship, I do believe, you know, everybody does have baggage and suitcase, and it's how you can break it down and deal with it. And if it's really getting to you, like Rod said, I think, you know, one needs to see a therapist, and there's nothing wrong with that, to help somebody break it down, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Mhm. Mhm. I'd like to think that I'd sit there and try to work it out, because I get vested. And again, I'll go back to my toolbox analogy. If I don't have what's in my toolbox, I'll sit there and say, "Okay, open your toolbox." If it's not in there, it's like we got to go someplace together and work this out. Because, like you say, if we made it to the 6 months mark with my temper and her temper, it's like I'm going to be vested in there. I want to keep going forward and make it work out.
Nice toolbox.
I'm not so willing to pull up stakes.
I hear you on that one. And I will go to you, Deacon, on your final thoughts.
Well, I tell you, on either side, it's going to take work, and it's not nothing is that's worth having is going to come to you easy. You know, you're going to have your potholes and everything that you're going to have to go through. You're going to have your valleys, and you're going to have your storms. And that's something that's not going to be avoided. You know, a lot of times it seems like, well, maybe is this whole thing worth it? You know, but it takes work on both sides. It can't be one-sided. And if you have a relationship that's been one-sided, but they didn't realize it was one-sided because the relationship was going so well, and then you was thinking one thing, and then you get thrown in your face that it really wasn't that after all. You have to be careful. You have to be careful because relationships can be very tricky. You can't just put your heart out there. Put your heart out there. You got to be careful.
That's right. I like that.
Yes, you do.
That's why you got to insist on those grown folk relationships where you can be open and
right.
You can say anything. I mean, I may not like it. I may even get pissed.
Right.
But I'll let you say your say, and I'll try to work it out. But I've never expected to be in a situation in which I thought everything was okay, and she's like, "Well, it hasn't been because I feel." I'd be like, "What? What?" I would think like Deacon. I was like, "You're a grown woman. What do you mean you've just kept your mouth shut for all this time? I thought things were great. Now we have problems."
On that one,
let me make this point.
Really
okay, say you got a relationship, right? And these people have, let's say, been together, let's say, 20, 25 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one person asks the other person, "Do you love me?" And the other one, without even hesitation, says, "Oh, yeah, definitely. Every day, I love you a little bit more every day." You know? Well, what do you feel about me? I don't know.
What?
After 25 years?
Yeah.
You don't know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem there. A very serious problem there.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you wasted 25 years of your life or something like that. And that's very hurtful, and that's something that sticks with you for a while. It's not something you're just going to shake away very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will have to give my last opinion because we're down to the last few seconds. But my thing is, if you have a dark side of your life that you're coming out of, and you've got to, like, look into the light every time something goes wrong. Not saying that you're not going to still have your
human emotions, your reactions, but whatever you do, you don't let go of what is positive, what's the point of peace in your life. You don't. Even if it takes you a while to get back to it, you know, if you can't speak right away, you don't let communication go. You don't push away what's good. You don't sit there and let everything become one blurred line, because then where is the progress? Where is the moving forward? And where is the connection to what you've created? That is what counts. So until tomorrow, everybody, with our Spread Your Wings Showcase, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Good night, everyone.
All right, God bless. God bless. Good night.
Good night, all. So blessed. Bye.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.